21st, the coronavirus outbreak has changed daily life around most of the planet, but it's not the first disease to do that in the modern world. Many public health officials say there are a lot of lessons to be learned from the 1918 influenza epidemic, sometimes inaccurately called the Spanish flu. Our next guest is the author of a piece originally written back in 2000 about the history of the 1918 flu here in Wisconsin and how residents, businesses, and government responded. Stephen Berg is a history professor at Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania and a former researcher in the Division of Public History at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, take us back to this influenza outbreak. And first of all, just in broad terms, how big an impact did it have on us here in Wisconsin?
Okay, so the Spanish flu or the influenza epidemic was something that had first started to really take hold in Europe in the spring of 1918. Many of the papers didn't cover it as it was impacting the troops fighting in the First World War, and it becomes known as the Spanish flu largely because the neutral Spanish newspapers are covering the outbreak when it hits Spain, and even the King of Spain was came down with the case of the influenza. Here in Wisconsin, the first case was in September of 1918, and ultimately it leads to about over 8,400 deaths and really shuts down the state from the middle of October through the beginning of November. And then there's two more waves that one hits in November and then one hits in January 1919. As well.
It's a lot of deaths, but you write or wrote back in 2000 that in some ways Wisconsin was a success story because of the state and local public health efforts. What kind of things, looking back 100 plus years, did we get right?
Well, Wisconsin was really impressive, was a national leader in the field of public health. 1876, the state had created its first state board of health, which created a state body focused on public health and actually created and had each community around the state had a public health officer who was supposed to deal with health issues and also respond to infectious diseases. So Wisconsin, and especially places like Milwaukee, had a really robust, really well-established public health infrastructure, which allowed a level of response and coordination that was unique at the time. Wisconsin was the only state in the country that instituted a statewide closing order in 1918. And when you look at the overall death rate, the death rate for Wisconsin was 2.9 people per 1,000, which was compared to the national rate, which was 4.4 people per 1,000. So a significantly lower death rate than the national level. And I believe a part of that is definitely attributable to the really well-coordinated response in the state.
And you wrote that some communities were slower to respond. I think Wausau was one of them. But because the U.S. was in the midst of this sort of patriotic fervor in the midst of World War One, that, you know, if people weren't following the guidelines and restrictions, they were accused often of being unpatriotic, maybe even helping the Germans.
Yeah, it was. So the fall of 1918, it's the last few months of World War One. The nation has really been both through propaganda, but also through really an outpouring of patriotism, mobilized for the war effort. And so that war effort, on the one hand, places like Wausau don't want to close things down because they don't want to negatively impact the war effort. They don't want to interfere with the draft. But there's a flip side to that, which is the nation was really mobilized in a very, very bold way, and that mobilization for the war effort was able to be translated into efforts to respond to the influenza outbreak. For example, in Milwaukee, you had the Red Cross, which was very active, being able to mobilize. Boy Scouts were going door to door, trying to find people who might be sick and needing help. So the war effort interfered a little bit with the closing, But at the same time, also the population was mobilized in a very robust way to be able to try to rally to fight the disease.
We're talking to history professor Stephen Berg from Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania, looking back just over 100 years at the flu epidemic, the global flu epidemic, and how it hit us here in Wisconsin. Stephen, you write in the piece that cities like Milwaukee and Madison were hit first. Rural areas took longer. That sounds kind of familiar. You also focused in, I think, on Waupaca. Can you tell us what this looked like through their eyes?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's really interesting is that, you know, places like Milwaukee, which had hospitals, very well-organized public health infrastructure, lots of civic organizations, they were able to respond in a way that really dealt with the large numbers of people they were facing. One of the things that's really important, though, is that even though the cities get hit first and get hit hardest, that it does end up hitting just about every community in the state. And for the smaller communities that may not have a hospital, that may only have a single doctor, that one of the challenges there is how do those rural communities respond to the flu outbreak? And, you know, this was also wartime, so a lot of doctors and nurses had been mobilized for the military. And so you have communities that are already understaffed in terms of their local health officials, then trying to really deal with this epidemic with very limited resources. And so in some communities, it's, you know, just neighbors helping neighbors. There's one story that, you know, there was one young man who basically was going around milking all of the cows in his neighborhood because his entire community was basically down with the flu.
Do you see lessons from 1918 that might inform us? I know it's a different disease. It affects people differently. It's a different time. But are there lessons that you think hold true from 1918 for 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I think the things that, looking back, the things that I think we really did right were the pre-planning. I just think with public health, it's one of those things that's easy to forget about when you're not dealing with an epidemic. So that, you know, advanced planning, the taking the steps ahead of time to both build up the education and the infrastructure and community participation to be able to respond is really important. I also think that the response that happened in 1918 really was a combination of government, businesses, civic organizations. It was not a partisan effort. It was people pitching in and realizing that as communities, we're all in this together, and really putting the health and safety and welfare of each other at the forefront.
Stephen, we are all changing our daily lives, some or a lot, in this time of the COVID-19 outbreak. Can you give us, in our last couple minutes, a sense of what daily life was like in the midst of these shutdowns in 1918?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that is striking, and it's something, you know, I'm living through this moment as well, is that the so much of civic life shut down. Churches, civic organizations, even the 1918 was a election year just like this year. There were no rallies, there were no parades, there were no public speeches. And so it really was this sense of, I keep seeing over and over again, the sense of turning in, the sense of solitude. And I think that the emotional toll and that's, you know, loss of human connection was something that people 1918 felt. I think it's something people are experiencing today as well.
And the State Board of Health back then said the 1918 flu outbreak would be forever remembered. Do you hope that we do pay a little more attention to moments like this in our nation's and our state's history, just in our last minute or so?
I hope so. I mean, I think that the remembering these kinds of events, which often don't have the drama of some of the, you know, great battles in history, I think they're really important. More people died during the Spanish flu in Wisconsin than had died, or Wisconsinites who had died in the fighting of the First World War. I think that these are really important, and remembering them and taking the steps, especially when they pass, to be ready for them the next time they come is really important for us as a society.
Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
That's Stephen Berg, history professor from Shippensburg University. He was with us today to talk about the 1918 influenza outbreak and its impact here in Wisconsin. You can find his original piece. It was published about 20 years ago at wiscontext.org.